Amen. Lord, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you that people could get out of their house and come to church and worship. And Lord, I just pray for protection for all of us. This has been a heavy snow, and it really has caused a little bit of difficulties. And so, again, we thank you for your wonders. I pray you be with us this morning and just really speak to us through your word. Be our teacher, Lord, and understand that you're trying to move in our hearts to reveal things to us that we wouldn't understand unless you would show us. So just anoint me, Lord, and just to speak words of the Spirit from the heart, and each heart would be open to receive from the Spirit. So we just thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Do not judge. Do not judge. Good title. Good title. Let us look here at James as we're going through the book of James, and look at James chapter 4, verse 12. It says this: "There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor?" Now, very interesting, this section about judging falling in place in, you know, James, where we're coming through. God really has, dislikes judging others and judgment. And he has a lot to say about, you know, about not judging other people within the body of Christ. He often, all through Scripture, he often really clearly admonishes believers in the church not to judge one another. It makes a big deal out of it. And so we really need to look at the subject, look closely at the subject, why he feels this is so destructive. And that's a good word. It's destructive. You know, it's more than an irritation. It's destructive. However, there are circumstances where God clearly tells us to make judgments. So you got two things here. It says, don't judge, and just as all things that, but then there are situations where he tells us to make judgments. Now here in James, it's clearly focusing on the one aspect. Don't judge, period. You know, that's all he's focusing on. But when you take all of Scripture together, it's like, well, no, this is, you know, it's like a double-barrel shotgun. You know, there's two things coming at once here. So what we're going to do this morning, we're going to look at both teachings. We're going to look at both teachings here and try to make and distinguish between the two. So we're going to look at both of them and distinguish between the two. And when we look here at James 4:12, we can go back one verse, okay? Verse 11. I didn't put it up there, but you go back to verse 11, which is doesn't read real smoothly, okay? But basically what verse 11 says is that speaking evil or judging a fellow believer is putting yourself above the law and above God who wrote the law. That's basically what verse 11 is saying. You're just putting yourself above God and the law, and you become God and the law. And so then it goes in here into verse 12. Then verse 12 here, it says, you can't do that. You're not God. There's only one God. There's only one lawgiver, and there's only one judge. Then he asks, who are you to judge your neighbor? So that's the whole context where he's coming at this. So it's pretty clear what he's trying to say. So James also is reminding us that we are under what? The royal law of love. James 2:8. Fulfill the royal law according to the Scriptures. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And you know me, and you know what I believe about the Scriptures and reading books. They're not isolated verses, okay? It fits together. He's telling us, he's giving us a whole picture so that we can understand the whole picture of things. Now, right here, very clear, God warns us of the destructive consequences of judgmental attitudes within the church. As an example, we'll flip over to Galatians 5:15. Look at Galatians 5:15, which is pretty clear. Pretty clear. Galatians 5:15 says, "But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." He's talking about church. Don't bite one another, or watch out, or you'll consume one another. Seen that happen, unfortunately, over the years. Now, what you have also, when you look at this, you're just looking at this whole picture of what God's trying to tell us. We see where Jesus himself likewise makes a statement about believers being judgmental. I mean, he makes the point of it. And in Matthew 7, 1 through 2, he makes this comment. "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Ouch. The way we judge others, God will judge us. Now, I always looked at this like the first reading says. You know, go, okay, so if I'm judgmental, then other people be judgmental of me, you know, which is probably true. But when I looked at it, that's not what he says. God says, God says he will take your attitude and use it on you. It's like, why am I being judged so strictly? Because you judge everyone else that way. Now, I don't know how all that works together. I just know he just said it. Okay? So it's like, okay. Got my attention there. He got my attention there. And so not only said, but he's also saying this, the way we judge others, God will judge us. Then he says, before, you know, he says, being judgmental causes the church to self-destruct. See, you know, how can Satan destroy the church? The church is impenetrable. You know, it's eternal, you know. And so devil can't hurt the church. Devil can't hurt the believers. Now, how he works it makes us to open the door to hurt ourselves. See, and when he's opening the door, and he's, if I can't get them judging one another, they will self-destruct. He goes, did my job. See, now he can do that, but he has to do that through us. And so this is the coming. And Jesus says, don't do this. You know, you're messing up my program here. So don't do this. Now, so how does this, you know, how does this work together? Therefore, believers are, just as in James said, we're under the royal law of love. Love one another. Amen? So, hallelujah. I mean, it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear what he's saying here. And then we can go back to know how this works. Well, how does this work? We can go back to Galatians 5:18. And there are a lot of places you could go. My goodness. Galatians 5:18 said, "But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." See, you need a law to judge somebody. If you're under the Spirit, you're not under the law. Amen? Then we're all happy. there's a lot of scripture. There's a lot of scripture that just reinforces. In fact, I thought about it. There was, I don't know, 10, I'd say, really, really good verses that I could just gone over and we'd share, you know, with you this morning. But it would say the same thing. It's just repetitious. It's repetitious to this about not judging one another. And so, all right. So let's look. Flip this over. There's other things we need to look at, because you know God is infinite and he kind of covers all the bases, you know, so he's trying to tell us everything. When we look at Galatians 5:18, I want us to look closely at Galatians 5:18 and understand this verse. Okay, same verse, just understand it. Believers are not under the law. Everybody can say amen. But what we should have said, what we should say, believers are not under the law because, why? Because we're led by the Spirit. That's why we're not under the law, because we're led by the Spirit. We're not just cut loose, free. He goes, no, you're not under that law. You're not under that law, huh? Because you're led by the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the guiding agent in our lives. Y'all with me? I mean, this is important. You go any place and just any religion, and a lot of Christian religions, and preach the law, just rules, okay? Well, God says, no, we're bigger than that. We're bigger than that. And Jeremiah said, I'm going to write the law in your heart. That's what, I mean, he said that in Old Testament. I'm going to write it in your heart. And they're like, how you do that? Well, here we are in the New Testament, and we have the Holy Spirit indwelling our heart. He wrote it on our heart. See, so he's moving through our heart, and we are led for him working in our heart. And because we are led from our heart, we're not under the law. But that's why. Because we're led by the Spirit. Amen? So just the kind, you know, redefined print there, redefined print. The Holy Spirit is the guiding agent in our lives. But when believers are not led by the Spirit, because that should be our next question. Okay, if we're led by the Spirit, okay, we're not under the law, okay, right? But what's the flip? Well, if we're not led by the Spirit, you know, you ever know a Christian that wasn't led by the Spirit? Well, I know one real close. It's me. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I messed up here again, you know. So it's a constant relational thing. You got working there. Now, so it's a choice to be led by the Spirit. It's a decision to be led by the Spirit. And then that Spirit works through transforming you to behave the way Jesus did, consistent with the Scriptures. Consistent with the Scriptures. But when believers are not led by the Spirit, I don't even want to say this. I don't want to say it, okay? Because I don't want to go there. But when believers are not led by the Spirit, the law comes into play. Why? I'm not under the law. I know, you ain't under the Spirit either. You're under something. See, it's like, no, I'm not led by the Spirit. I'm not under this leading of the Spirit. Then the law comes to play on you by your choice. By your choice. Now, again, it's not by doing a bunch of detailed things. It's a decision on who we want to follow. Who we want to follow. And so, well, I don't want to follow Jesus. I don't want to be led by the Spirit. We think, well, we're just free. No, you ain't. You know, you're not. And I mean, if I was doing something silly like going through and you come up to a stop sign, you're driving your car and you think, oh God, this reminded me of that, and I'm led by the Spirit and I'm stopping here. Or I said, nobody gonna tell me anything, I'm just going through. See? You're under the law. You're either gonna hit another car or you're gonna get a ticket. Your decision put yourself under the law. Okay, so any analogy kind of falls apart. But you get the point, what's being said here. What's being said here about, you know, being judgmental. Now we come, biblically, now we come to touchy situations. Touchy situations. What does God say about things we're supposed to judge? And what are the things we are supposed to judge? So, now listen closely to this. Listen closely. Because we believe and understand the freedom in Christ and being led by the Spirit. And we embrace it. Every message I preach just permeates in that. You know. Well, if believers, and by the way, I'm talking to believers, okay, and I could say this because I can talk to myself. I don't have to talk to you. But if believers are not being led by the Spirit, acting like unbelievers, they fall under the assessment of the law. There you go. If we act like believers, what if they just do anything they want? No, they fall under the assessment of the law. Romans 3:19, the law is to convict, improve, to prove you can't live up to the law. My, I am glad I'm under the law. I'm forgiven, being led by the Spirit. But I don't want to be led by the Spirit. Okay? You have to be judged by the law. You see? So, that's the thought process that's coming here. And some people, you know, I've talked, said, well, if we're not under the law, what's the reason for the law? You know, and that says, you know, one of the answers is God, the law reflects God and it's good and perfect. That's one reason, because it shows the perfection of God. Timothy says this, 1 Timothy 1:9. So we understand the law, what the purpose of the law is. Timothy 1:9. Understand this, that the law is not laid down for the just, believers. That's not why. He didn't lay down the law for believers. Why? Because we receive Christ. The Holy Spirit lives within us. And now I lead my people. I didn't make the law for them. I made the Holy Spirit. Christ did. That's what I made for them. See? The law is not laid down for the believers, but for the lawless and the disobedient. Believers acting lawless and disobedient. I do what I want to. You know? Alright. Okay, you know, if that's what you want to do, if that's the choice you want to make. See, there's a lot of grace being led by the Spirit, and we may blow it and walk and make mistakes and get up and go, you know, and ask for the more filling and ask for more grace. It's just a constant, and God's happy with that. God's happy with that. But there is, I ain't doing nothing, you say. No. Got my own life. I don't have time for you. Okay, something else kicks in. Something else kicks in from the Lord. All right. If you want to be under that, I'll treat you as under that based on our decision. But you see, it wasn't breaking a rule. It was making a decision about God. Now, God, so we're looking at this. So he's coming and said there are certain things where decisions, judgments have to be made by believers. God identifies the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we could look at that, but he identifies in Galatians the fruit of the Spirit. Then he identifies the works of the flesh and what they look like, that they're different. God gives us all sorts of information. The Bible is full of information on how to guide us. He tells us, this is how I guide you. I'm trying to help you. Okay, here's some things. I want to protect your family. To protect your family. These are stuff to protect your family. Okay, here's some things to protect the church. This is to protect the church and the Bible. So, oh, okay, I see that. Those are things, you know, I'm glad I didn't know those things. Therefore, we are called to make judgment concerning lifestyles, dominating practices, and behaviors which are unacceptable to God. We have to make those decisions. We have to make those decisions. I'm led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Then the Holy Spirit will make you, to lead you and grow you in making decisions you need to make. But if you just say, ain't doing it, all right, then God has to work in a different level by your decision. Are the people around us, I ain't doing it. You know, and again, not making a mistake, and so then we can judge them. But it's like, no, it's just ain't doing it. No, this is my life. This is the way I live it. I make these decisions. So here we are. That, and what God does, He addresses these. He addresses everything. Like I said, we could have spent whole morning listening to verses, and they're really good about why you shouldn't judge. Some of them would just scare the living daylight out of you. You know, it's like, just like when we read, how you judge, I'll judge you. It's like, maybe I don't want to do that. You know, again, because God knows. And the thing I found out, He knows about it. He knows what I'm thinking. I ain't going to say anything, but this is what I think. He said, I'll judge you based on what you're thinking then. You know, it's like, okay. God is like, he's really doing a big work here. But the things around, you know, we have to make judgments. We're called to make judgments on things that are unacceptable to God based on what God says. Amen? Now, I just picked a few verses. There's a whole bunch more. But listen to this. Here's one, for instance. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 through 5. Just read it. Finally then, brothers, believers, we instruct the Jew how to live to please God and to do so more and more. I always want to put a period there, and I'm happy. Love God. Do it more and more and more. For this is the will of our God, your sanctification to be set apart, that each one of you abstain from sexual immorality. That's a judgment. We make that judgment. He's telling us, make that judgment. And no freedom in this. And no freedom in this. And I just told you, you make that judgment. Everything I'm doing with you is for you to make that judgment. That you abstain from sexual immorality. That each one of you know how to control their own body in holiness and honor. Not in the passion of the lust like Gentiles and unbelievers who do not know God. Don't act like them. Don't act like them. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives His Holy Spirit to you. Holy cow. Now, look at what we're dealing with here. Look at what God, He makes this clear, dealing with. He goes, therefore, whoever disregards this, you disregard not man. Man had nothing to do with this. God says, you're disregarding me. And I'm the one that put the Holy Spirit in you. It keeps coming to mind, so I will say it. God makes an admonition on a believer by being immoral with a prostitute. And He says, how can you, with the Holy Spirit in me, make the Holy Spirit a part of this prostitute? Because He's having your sexual relations, you become one. So you made the Holy Spirit one with the prostitute. See, it's like, oh my gosh, Jesus is looking a little bit different on this than I am. See, you know, He talks about marriage. He's talking about Christ and the church. His view is big like this. And He's saying, don't do that. It's not right. Don't do that. Now, here, godly judgment says that if we commit immorality, we are not being led by the Spirit. Jesus just led me to have sex with so-and-so. No, He didn't. It didn't happen. You know, we don't have to go study that. That didn't happen. Now, what the thing of it is, when we're looking at it, well, we're talking about immorality being bad and stuff. No, we're not. What we're talking about is being led by the Spirit. That's what we're talking about, is being led by the Spirit. You know, the Spirit will not lead you into that. But I felt lust. Okay, then call it that. Don't call it the Spirit. See, you have to make a decision. And you got the choice. By the way, you got the choice right there. Again, the thought's not the sin. The choice is the sin. Okay, so here he's telling us about this. We need to make godly judgments. And if we commit immorality, we are not being led by the Spirit. What are we under? Law. And he tells you exactly what he thinks about it in the law. But he's letting us know. I mean, that you're being led by the Spirit. That's not what you will do. Okay. Now we live in a world that's totally consumed with immorality. Amazing. Just consumed with it. But God's very clear about how we are to behave. He knows what's going on, but he said, that's not how you're supposed to behave. We know how we're behaving. And again, it's when I say this, I don't even have to get a verse. There's like hundreds of them. You know, I mean, it just tells us over and over and over again. We are God's light in this dark world. God, this is us. Consumed with immorality, what are you going to do about this? Oh, I got this idea. I'll put you there, and then you can be a light. Well, that's not probably the best, my first plan. Really? Yeah, that's the only plan. That's what God said. So, we are God's light to this dark world. Now, I'm going to read something to you here, and I want you to listen carefully, because he's listening, and this is what God's saying. You know, he is differentiating between something, what he sees, and then he's telling us what he sees. I mean, it is. You know, you could have a preacher sit up here, you have me, you know, beat to repent, you know. Well, I'm not going to do that, because I'm as guilty as everybody else. So I really don't have a leg to stand on. But when you look at what God says, he says, wait a minute, I said, do this. Well, that changes the game. You said, this is what you're saying. Okay, God, then I need to make adjustments because of you. And I need to be empowered and led by the Spirit to be empowered to make this decision to follow you. He goes, that's right. That's what you got to do. I'm in this. I'm all over this. And without me, you can't do it. Can't do it. All right? Can't do it. So now God shows us something. And again, reason I'm going through this, thinking about it, because we all go through it and we have to make decisions about the things that are around us, you know. And God likes, he cannot stand people that are judgmental. Oh, I didn't like that dress you wore, and, you know. Never can get rich to dress up. He just, playing the drums. I don't know why he doesn't wear a tie. I've actually had somebody come and ask me that. Not rich, but the other. See, just judge. God wants to puke. I want to puke. You know. But, there's things you got to make a judgment on. See, no, this is not acceptable. But God, we can't do that. We can't do that, okay? And so you need to make some judgments about this. You have to make some judgments about this. Here you go. Listen to what the Lord says. And listen to how the Lord looks. When we read this, look at how the Lord's looking at the world. The ones we read, the verse we read in Ephesians, he made the point. He goes, you're not dealing with man, you're dealing with God who gave you the Holy Spirit. He's making a point. It doesn't have anything to do with men. It's me. The issue is me, and I gave you the Holy Spirit. And this is not part of what I had in mind. Well, the same things here. God said, okay, let me tell you how I deal with these things. All right, y'all ready? I didn't put an overhead, but you won't need one. 1 Corinthians 5:9 through 11. Paul says, I wrote to you my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all, meaning the sexual immoral of this world or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. Now, did you hear what he just said? He goes, we must interact with the world. I'm not talking about the world. The world's just acting like they're supposed to act. Don't be so upset about it. Right here. Sexually immoral, greedy, swindlers, idolaters. You know, he said, I told you not to hang around, you know, with these people, but not the people of the world that do this, because then you'd have to leave the world. Right? Real clear. Real clear. I don't want to go see XYZ because, you know, who knows what XYZ is doing. You don't even know those people. What, you're totally off base. Not to associate sexually immoral people. Da-da-da-da. Since you'd need to go out of the world. But, oh, you knew it was coming, didn't you? Verse 11, you knew it was coming. I'm not telling you not to hang around the sexually immoral, greedy people of the world, since you'd have to go out of the world. But, and that but's a contrast. It's in the original language. Whatever version you use, it's there. But, so the contrast is, but now I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of a brother. I'm talking to Christians. I'm not talking to the world. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to Christians. I'm telling you not to associate with any Christian. If he is guilty of sexual immorality, greed, or an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, do not even eat with them. Whoa. Now we're talking big time judgment right here. But why? What? We are led by the Spirit, and we're going to follow the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit, and we're led, and we're going to follow God by the Holy Spirit moving within us. But, and he says, God said previously, if you disregard that, you disregard me. So we're saying somebody who has the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, God with them in their heart, and they practice these things, sexual immorality, greedy, being idolaters. Oh my God. And they call themselves a Christian. Don't even eat with them. That's why. That's why. Because they're making a mockery out of Christ. They're making a mockery out of Christ. That was okay. They're doing what they do. Don't get mad at the world. The world's doing what they do. What does the world need? Tell me. What does the world need? Jesus. They need Jesus. They don't even have a capacity to do anything like this. They don't have a capacity to be led by the Spirit. But when we have Jesus in you, and, you know, put in it, the God that spoke the universe into place, you know, has the power to raise the dead, and he lives within us, and we're going to have sex with a prostitute. Oh, my God. I mean, how can one violate that much power to do their own will. Maybe they don't know the Lord. They don't know the Lord at all. They're not. Well, that could be. Okay. But the problem is they're calling themselves a Christian. We don't know. Man, I tell you what, you're calling, but you're, one thing I know, you ain't being led by the Spirit. I know that's not, it's not happening. I know. Why? Because the Spirit, based on this section, the Spirit is not guilty of sexual immorality. The Holy Spirit's not guilty of greed. The Holy Spirit's not guilty of being idolater. That's worshiping another God, worshiping anyway. The Holy Spirit's not guilty of being a reviler. The Holy Spirit's not guilty of being a drunkard. The Holy Spirit's not guilty of being a swindler. You know? I don't know what's going with it. And we don't know. They don't know. Don't even eat with them. Don't even eat with them. Make a judgment. Why? Protect you. Protect your family. And you pick the church, and the church becomes a place of light. It's not a place for people to practice immorality. And you notice how I keep using the word practice, because when they use these words, it's lifestyles. It's a continuous, it's like, oh my, I messed up, everybody's messed up, oh, this is going to be, no, it's a lifestyle one chooses, and what a lifestyle is, you can tell, because you can call the person by that name. They worship idols all the time, so you just call them an idolater, that's their name. And every time this guy comes in, he just swindles you out of something, you can just call him, he's a swindler, he can call it, you put the name on him. Because he practices it. So this is what he's talking about, decision. So God is telling us, he's telling us in this, now Lord, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And if you're led by the Spirit, you won't do these things. There's indication. You can put your arm around and walk through. Hey, buddy, you know what's going on here? You know? So, but they will want out of it. Why? If the Holy Spirit's in them. It's not man. Is there an issue with, is the Holy Spirit good with this? Well, we know it's not, but do they think it is? So, unfortunately, you know, say you just got a drunkard falling down drunk all the time, and he's going to come in your house and live with you in your room, and, you know, I'm just following Jesus. Maybe you're following Jesus. You ain't living in my house. I mean, I have no evidence of what you're saying. You know, the Holy Spirit wouldn't do that. Oh, make a mistake. No, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about that. So, now, put it in context here. This section of Scripture written. Now, you read the whole thing. It's kind of fascinating. And you think the Apostle Paul was the apostle of freedom, the apostle of being led by the Spirit. He's the one that tells us about it, all right? Well, the Apostle Paul led these folks to the Lord. So he's writing them a letter back. He's writing back to the Corinthian church. And in this situation, in verses 1 through 9 here, what he's addressing, the issue he's addressing, is a guy in the church that Paul started is sleeping with his stepmother. Paul goes, what are you doing? What are you doing? One thing Paul knows, he ain't led by the Spirit. This guy's probably going, I'm free. Paul's going, no. No, buddy, you're misled. You're not even in the same part. You know, I have questions to even count you as a believer. Yeah, I can't, you know. And Paul tells these people, and this is who he's talking about. He goes, don't even meet with this guy. He said, that's wrong. That's not true. That's a lie. He's not led by the Spirit, you know. And you have to be led by the Spirit to be free. And we're all struggling and walking, like he says, day by day, day by day. But he's making a point. So in this situation, he's going, no, buddy, you may be screaming freedom. I'm telling everybody, don't even meet with this guy. You got to make a judgment. Everything about him. So, but then he goes here, not only that, but anyone practicing these lifestyles he's just mentioned are rejecting Christ's teaching. Brothers and sisters, where the Spirit is, there's freedom. Tell me where the freedom is. Where's the freedom? Where the Spirit is. Where the Spirit is, there's freedom. And again, it's not a new set of rules. It's just like, okay, we're in this battle together. We're praying. We're walking through, doing the best we can, following through. But we have to make a judgment. What? And who we have to make a judgment? For ourselves, for our family, and for the church. And he's talking to the church here. He's a man of the church. In fact, in this section, when you read it, when he reads it, this is an interesting section. You ought to read chapter 5, 1 Corinthians. He tells that church, he goes, the pagans are not even doing these sins. He says, you're worse than the pagans in Corinth. That's what he just told them. He said, what are you talking about? You're worse than they are. You're not a light. You're worse than they are. Read it. Interesting. Now, therefore, proclaiming believers who live this way should be avoided. Now, let's go to, holy cow. We live to please God, setting our eyes on Jesus and desiring to keep in step with the Spirit. Right, you see the receiving of the Holy Spirit, and oh God, I'm a mess, but I want to serve you, God. I want you to teach me, and I desire to keep a step. Now see what's happening. Oh my God, you know, I want to serve you as a decision. It was no, God, I want to keep in step. There's a decision. See? Now, we fall all the way along and make all sorts of mistakes. And God says, that's okay. You're covered in the blood. What about this guy that's sleeping with his stepmother? Well, you don't know what this guy's covered in. I mean, I know what he says, but he ain't showing me nothing. We got to make a decision. Maybe he will repent. There's another verse here that talks about it. And Paul makes a judgment on somebody. He says, good God, what are you doing? You know, like that. And he tells the church, he says, take him out of the church and give him to Satan. Now, isn't that interesting? Well, what's outside the church? Satan. You see, the church is a place where God's just working with his people. I mean, they're a big mess, okay? But he's working with them. He's working with, but you got somebody that said, no, I ain't doing it. And he's, you know, practicing these things, totally unacceptable. Paul goes, put them out of the church to Satan. And he makes this guy, let Satan have him. Maybe he will repent and then he can come back. But you see the dynamic that's playing out here. The dynamic play is fascinating. So this verse now, and we've talked about this verse 100 times, but now it starts making more sense. Look at Galatians 5:25. And the first word really makes more sense now. If. If. If we live by the Spirit. See, if we... Well, how do I know I live by the Spirit? I make a choice. God's in me. If, and Lord, I want your direction. I want to know what you're doing. If you're doing that, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Thank the guy that's sleeping with his stepmother. Somewhere along the line, he got out of step with the Spirit. I mean, I don't know where, what happened. I know the Spirit didn't lead him there. So I don't want to be there. So I won't live by the Spirit. So I want to keep in step with the Spirit. I have to make a decision to keep in step, step by step. Make a step. Oh, just me and Jesus, okay? Brothers and sisters, we represent God to the world. The church is a place of love and forgiveness. Our arms are open wide to those seeking God, those seeking the truth as revealed by Jesus Christ. He is called the truth. We embrace the royal law of love. Therefore, serving God, we desire to keep in step with the Spirit. We're not there, but we desire to keep in step, and we're all going at different paces. The church lives the royal law of love. Look at Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as Christ has forgiven you. You know why I should forgive you? You know why I should forgive you for everything? It's because He forgave me. He forgave me. The reason I can say anything is because He forgave me. And it's the least I should do for you is forgive you anything. See? And he goes, that's what the church is. Brothers and sisters, we love God because He loved us first. John 3:16. God so loved the world that gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. He goes, I wrote below in your heart and dwelt you with the Holy Spirit. I've done everything for you. Now I'm going to give you, teach you, and empower you in all things. In all things. And he goes, I love it. I love doing it. You know that one verse read at Thessalonians. He says, you were taught what is acceptable and to love God more and more and more. See, we're in the more and more state. So hallelujah. Now, James says, and we're here, it goes, don't judge anybody. Don't judge anybody. But we don't judge anybody because we know they're led by the Spirit. We don't judge them. We don't want to get in God's way. Who are we to judge someone who God's leading? Don't. I mean, no. Jesus said, don't do it. Who are you to ever think you can? However, we got to step back and we say, my God, this, Lord Jesus, they ain't walking in the Spirit. I mean, they're just inconsistent with everything about Jesus. Their whole lifestyle is inconsistent without Jesus. And it's like they're not being led by the Spirit. And that's what has to be addressed. The church is for those who are led by the Spirit. We're a mess. But we're led by the Spirit. All right. You be our teacher. You be our teachers. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you and I thank you. Lord, I thank you for this word. Lord, you teach us all things. You show us all things. And I can just see that. And I can confess here over the each person here over the years seen in the church, judgmental. People being judgmental. They've been absolutely, totally destructive. Hurt people so bad that I don't know if they ever get over it. I mean, through you, I'm sure they do. You know, there's nothing harder than to talk to someone who's been hurt by the church. You almost can't penetrate their hurt. So, Lord, I just pray you work in our hearts that we not be judgmental towards a soul. But yes, Lord, as we look to you, be aware that, that there are certain ungodly attitudes and stuff that you have to call us to deal with. And that, Lord, just fearfully and prayerfully, we would just, come along somebody and say, hey, brother or sister, are you walking in the Spirit? This seems so inconsistent with what Jesus is asking us to do. But, Lord, you've called us to make a stand for Jesus. Make a stand for Jesus. Lord, we give thanks to you. We give thanks for your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. Who's done?